Somebody say Merry Christmas. Now we're going to find out why God sent his son into the world, or first we're going to find out why he didn't send his son in the world. Listen, this Christmas, there's a lot of misunderstanding of who our God is. And I'm going to correct the misunderstanding because people have it wrong. You know what? They think he's someone up there just getting ready for you to, you know what, drink too much and then slap you around a little bit. Some people think he's causing car crashes and tornadoes and this stuff. Listen, that's not revealed to us in the Word of God. How do we know about God? It's revealed to us in his Word. Watch what he says. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. That's not the purpose. What is the purpose? But that the world through him might be what? Saved. This is my message today. What's my message today? The world needs to be saved. The world needs a savior. Here, let me say it another way. You are all jacked up. We'll take a jacked up test a little later. We'll take a jacked up test a little later. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Just flip on over just a little bit to Luke chapter 2. And you know this is probably very familiar to you. But this Christmas Sunday, I wanted you to catch this. Luke chapter 2. Starting with verse 9. Now he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a... I'm sorry. Luke chapter 2. I was reading Luke chapter 4. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then an angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people, for this is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Let's stop there. And I don't know if you caught this, but look at verse 11 again. For this is born to you this day in the city of David a what? In the city of David a what?
Savior.
A what?
Savior.
A Savior. Say a Savior. The reason why God sent to you a Savior is because you needed a Savior. That's why he sent a Savior, because you needed a Savior. I need a Savior. We'll do a jacked up test in a little bit. We need a Savior. Then one more passage. It's in Luke. No. Before you go there, stop. Stay here. For there is born, for all of you who think you got it all together, I'm going to help you out today. For there is born to... What's that next word? You. Why did Christ come? He came for you. That's why he came. You need a Savior. And I want to stop and see that, because you've got to understand this Savior that was given by God, Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, was given to you. Amen. Now, one more verse. You know what? We're in my series of my favorites. And growing up in Sunday school, this was my favorite Sunday school story. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And look at verse 1. Said, "Pastor, I don't know if this is a good text to preach for Christmas Sunday." Oh, this is an excellent text for Christmas Sunday. Let me show you this. Then Jesus entered the place through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man. Somebody say there was a man. Okay, I'll give you a clue. This guy is jacked up. A man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Let me tell you about let me just take a time out there and tell you about these tax collectors. In Rome, they would have people who would bid to be the tax collector. And if you bid enough money, you had to give that money up front to Rome. And once they had your money, Rome was good. And then you had the right by Rome to then go to whatever sphere they gave you, whatever you bid on, and tax the people. Rome already got their money from you. Now you're going to get your money from the people. And Rome isn't supervising what you do. So these tax collectors were notorious for making up whatever tax they felt like. If you had a hat on, you'll get the hat tax, amen? If you had a red sweater on, you could have the red sweater tax. Whatever they felt, and it could be literally whatever they wanted. What was crazy about this, what they were so hated so much, was because these people who were doing this in that region, like this guy, he was Jewish. So he is making this backhanded deal with the Romans and then coming back and really sticking it to his own people. And so they had this just this incredible hatred for the tax collectors because they knew they were in cahoots with the Romans, and they hated the Romans already. And that fact that their own people would stab them in the back like that, they just hated them. This guy was really jacked up. And he sought to see who Jesus was, verse 3, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And then Jesus came to the place. He looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Verse 9, then Jesus said to them, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. Said all that to get to this point. Same thing that we read twice already. Here it is. Are you ready? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Why did Christ come? To seek and to save that which is lost. I've enjoyed the carolers today. They inspired me so much that I'm going to sing a couple Christmas songs for you today. Originally we had a gift. We wanted to give everyone who came today, entice them and encourage them to come next week. So we had a special gift that we were going to give everyone if they came next week. It was a nice book. It's just an excellent book. I highly recommend it. But, you know, something happened and we couldn't get it on time. Let's try that again. Something happened, we couldn't get it on time. So we aren't going to, if you come next week, you know what we're going to give you? Not a book. But yesterday I was inspired. I wrote a Christmas song yesterday. And if you come next week, I know it's the day after Christmas, but I will sing you the Christmas song that I wrote. And you will, and I guarantee you will thoroughly enjoy it. I won't sing it to you, but I will give you one of the verses today to tempt you. Are you ready? don't need another tie for Christmas this year. No more Rudolph and the flying reindeer. Frosty the Snowman never helped me at all. And no more songs about Deck the Hall. The chorus is, I need a savior. I need a savior. So they inspired me to sing to you today. So I'm going to sing some Christmas songs to you. And I want you to figure out what all these Christmas songs have in common. Frosty the Snowman. You know that song? Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Oh, this is a great theological one. Are you ready for this? I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus. What a twisted Christmas song. Santa baby. What in the world? Oh, one of my favorites. So uplifting. It's going to be a blue Christmas without you. What about that one by that wonderful theologian? What was his name? George Michael. How did that song go? Last Christmas, I give you my heart. Right? Okay. And then, of course, All I Want for Christmas is a Hippopotamus. Has anybody figured out what all these things have in common? What? Not about Jesus. And I only gave to you a half on the list. When I worked for Albertsons, 25 years. Big A. And did I say Albertsons? Okay. And in the Christmas season, they used to play Christmas music, but I tripped out because they could play hour upon hour upon hour of Christmas music, and none of them talked about Jesus. Not any of them talked about Jesus. And I was thinking this week, how in the world can we function in a society and have Christmas, and it's just all about, you know what, Rudolph and the reindeers, and the red nose, and the Frosty the Snowman. I'm telling you, my song that I wrote is going to inspire you next week. Because I talk about all this. And all this stuff. And I have some reasons why we can have a Christmas without Christ. Because most people don't understand. And I want to go over you some things to help you to understand some things of why we can have a Christmas without Christ. Wow. Can we preach without notes? I can. Guys in the back, can you give me my first point? Number one, the reason why people can have a Christmas without Christ is because most people don't understand that God is real. They don't understand that God is real. Here, I'm here to testify. God is real. When I grew up in my Baptist church, we used to sing this song. It was an awesome song, and it was called He Lives. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along the narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation in my heart. And then here's the last line. You ask me why, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Pastor, how do you know God's real? I just sang it for you. Because let me tell you what, God is real. And you can't tell me that he's not. You cannot know that he's real, but you will not convince me that he's real. And let me testify the reality that God is real. There is a real God. He really exists. And that's the truth. Now, you can accept it or not. And I'm not trying to be confrontational to you. I'm not trying to be in your face. But people need to proclaim. Listen, let me tell you, Christians. The world is trying to shut us up. And now is not the time to be shut up. Now is the time to graciously announce that Jesus is real, that God is real, that we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. You can't tell me that God isn't real because I know he's real. I've experienced him. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Are you ready? Let's just start at the beginning. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Before any of this was created, before any of this, God existed. God is real. You say, but Pastor, how in the world can I believe? You know why most people don't believe in God? You know what many people will say? Well, because you can't prove God. You can't see God. Oh, okay. So let me get this right. You only believe in what you see? Is that what you're telling me? See, your argument breaks down because you believe in all kinds of things you don't see. How many believe in an atom? How many believe there's atoms? How many believe how many believe that there could be a plane that could take off and fly? How many believe that? Do you know there was a time when there were no planes? And how did someone figure out that a plane could fly without seeing it? You know what? He believed what he could not see. And I could use that example. I could use a car, for example. I could use a train, for example. I could use all kinds of, I could use this outdoor project that you're enjoying as an example. If we were of the type of we can't see it, we can't believe it, then you would be in grass right now. Do you understand? See, there's all kinds of things. Let me go back to the atom, for instance. There's all kinds of things that are real, but you don't have an instrument to see it. And someone came up with an instrument to see it, and they said, see, there it is. Well, let me tell you what. At the end of your life, how many know there will be an end of your life? Oh. I mean, no, there will be an end of your life. At the end of your life, you will come to the recognition of what I'm saying today, that God is real. And I'm here to testify that God is real and that he loves you and he cares about you. Number two, why would people have a Christmas without Christ? How can we have that happen? Well, most people don't understand that their lives will be judged. Watch this. And they will not judge themselves. Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse what 27 says. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Just as people are designed to die once. How many know you are designed to die once? And after that, to face judgment. Every single one of you, including myself, we're going to die. And after we die, we're going to sit in front of the judge. And and he will judge us. Now, how many recognize that most people don't really think about that or understand that? But God is real, and we're all going to be judged, and we're all going to be judged by him. So they don't understand. You know what most people think? They think they're going to judge themselves. My third point, most people don't understand how in the world can we have a Christmas without Christ. Most people don't understand how they will, that they will be judged or how they will be judged. See, how do most people judge themselves? Well, here's what we do. We're like, Arlene, she's better than me, so I'm not picking her, okay? And Brian, oh, man. Brian's nicer than me, so I won't pick him. Tony. I'm going to pick Tony. And so what we do is we find someone that's worse than us, and then when we find somebody worse than us, then you know what we say? We say, we're not that bad. See, we're not that bad, right? Is that not right? And what we do is we try to find someone who's worse than us, because if we can find somebody worse than us, then we're like, oh, I'm not that bad. You know what I mean? But really, the truth is, we're not saying we are good, are we? We're saying we're not that bad. Exactly. We're jacked up. We're just not as jacked up as some people are. Right? I didn't use your name. Did you see that? I didn't use your name. Let me just say this. I can pick on Tony because Tony knows how much I love him. And he's a great example of meant to many of you of following Jesus Christ and being completely sold out for God. Okay. But that doesn't mean I'm still going to pick on him throughout the... Okay. But what we're saying is, you understand? See, we don't understand how we're going to be judged. We don't understand the standard. Let me tell you what the standard is. The standard is, are you perfect? See, if we go to that standard... You know, what does the Bible say? Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned. See, it's not just you guys, it's me too. For all have sinned. And here's the thing. And come, what? Short. How many are doing better in your walk towards holiness, acting like Christ? How many are doing better than you were 10 years ago? Raise your hand if you're doing better than 10 years. Oh, somebody raise their hand. Okay. How many are doing better than you were 5 years ago? You're doing better. How many are doing better than you were 1 year ago? Raise your hand if you're doing better 1 year. Thank God for you. I teach that we should walk in holiness. I teach that the Bible says, Jesus said this, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. I teach people, you know what, I'm so tired of listening to pastors on the radio that one of the things that come out of their mouth all the time is, oh, you know what, you're just a wretched sinner, you know what I mean? And it's odd to me because Paul calls us saints. And then the Bible says, as a man perceives in his heart, so he is. Listen, I understand I'm jacked up, but you know what? Because of the blood of Jesus, I put on the breastplate of righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, I don't identify. Stop identifying with your crazy grandma. Come on, am I the only one with a crazy grandma? Amen. Oh, my dad. God bless my dad. Can I tell you a funny story about my dad? My dad used to, oh, this child, you're going to crack up. My dad, well, first of all, let me tell you about my granny. My granny didn't get saved till she was in her 60s. I mean, bless my mom. She prayed for her parents all the time, and God blessed them at 60-something years old. I don't know why, but they said, hey, I want a Bible. They started going to church. They gave their life to Christ, and when I go to heaven, one of the first people I'm going to go is to Grandpa Walt and Granny Walt. I mean, thank God for them. But Granny Walt wasn't always as sweet as she was. Oh, she was a... Oh, my goodness. And my dad used to say that granny, which was my mom's mom, it was his mother-in-law, he used to say that she would have a voodoo doll. And she would stick him with stuff in the voodoo doll. Well, one day we were over at Granny Walt's and Grandpa's, and I don't know which sister it was. It was Dana, my other sister says, but I don't even know well, she's in church. She wouldn't lie in church. So I'll find out from Dana what she thinks. You know, how many know sometimes we remember the past in a different way? I'm just saying. It was Dana, was it? Okay, all right. So in front of Granny, Dana asked Granny, hey, Granny, where's that doll, that voodoo doll that you have of my dad's? How'd you like that to try to explain that to your mother-in-law? But the reason he said that wasn't out of context. I mean, this woman was not the sweetest woman in the world. But something happened to her. Jesus came to save that which was lost. And my granny was lost. And she was a lot of things, but she was not sweet. But then she got saved. Then Jesus saved her. You know why? Because my grandma needed a savior. Here's the reality. You and I can find other people to compare us, to make us feel better. But the reality is the one that you're going to be compared to on Judgment Day is God. And if you have imperfections in your life, even like my granny did, even when she got born again. How many are born again? You accepted Jesus in your heart, and you're doing better. But how many know you still have things you're working on? How many are still working on some stuff? Come on, if your hand's not up, you're lying, and we're in trouble. Or you're not working on stuff, you're in trouble there too. Okay, so somebody get their hand up. But hopefully we're working on stuff, and God is helping us. How many know the Holy Spirit is a helper? He helps us. But here's the thing that you need to know. That without the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, even if you've lost some weight, even if you don't cuss anymore, how many know you still have some things to work on? My last point. I'll give you a chance again. My last point. Come on, I don't believe you. My last point. People need to understand that they need a Savior. The reason why we can come up with song after song after song after song at Christmas time, none of them talking about Jesus. None of them talking about the Savior is because people don't understand how jacked up they are. All right, you ready for the jacked up test? How many of you have, here, you just grade your own paper. You don't have to raise your hand to this. How many of you ever said something that you shouldn't have said? I said you don't have to raise your hand. Trust me, as we go on, you will not Just trust me. How many ever said something that you shouldn't say? How many ever smoked something that you shouldn't have smoked? Moving right along. How many of you have drank more than you should drink? Don't raise your hand. How many of you drank so much that you forgot how much you drank? Look at your neighbor and say, I hope he's not talking about you. How many ever lied? How many ever stolen stuff? Now, how many know if you take, okay, so we'll stop there because I don't want to go any farther. Go for it. Peter says go deeper. How many ever slept with, okay, stop. Okay, but here's my point. Let's just stop right there. Here's my point, that if you take that in your life, in your past, even if you're doing better, and you take that and you compare that to the perfection of God, you understand why Romans says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want to show you one clip. And this is from the Titanic. And I want you to notice particularly about a guy in the back. And he is annoyed that, and he thinks that the Titanic isn't going to sink. The reason I show you that clip is because we're on the Titanic. Come on, somebody. Pastor, that's your Christmas message? That's what you come up with? We're on the Titanic? Yeah, that is my Christmas message. We're on the Titanic. How much time do we have, sir? I don't know how much time you have. Here's what I know. That at some point in time, every single one of us are going to die. Here, I did a lot of research on the Titanic. Here was the reality. When all that happened, the people in the lower deck, especially the workers that were down by the engines, they knew right away how jacked up they were. But on the upper levels, they were still, you know what, toasting with champagne and having caviar and dancing and nothing was change to them. They were just deceived, because for every single one of those people on the Titanic, that ship was going down. And in a matter of, somebody help me preach this, in a matter of time, what did they need? They needed a savior. You know, I forget, a little less than 1,000 people were saved. Why weren't they all saved? Well, one of the reasons they weren't saved was because they didn't have enough boats. And for that, this illustration breaks down. Because the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He came to save that which is lost. That was his purpose. That's why he was here. That's why those angels were saying, today in the city of David is born, somebody help me preach this, a savior. The reason why the savior came is because we needed to be saved. And the reason why people can talk about Frosty the Snowman and Santa Baby and all these craziness, all I want for Christmas is a hippopotamus, is It's because they're in the upper decks of the Titanic. They have no idea what's going to take place. Here's the thing that you need to understand. That the rescue boat is right there for you. And he's right there for me. And if you didn't pass the holiness test, which I didn't pass it either, we all need Jesus. Because when our life is compared to what God is asking, which is perfection, somebody needs, I thank God. So, Pastor, well, what about your test? How'd you do? Hey, none of your bizwax. But here's what I want to tell you. I've got the breastplate of righteousness on today. And the reason I have the breastplate of righteousness on is because Jesus Christ has provided me that righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin for me that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so today, I want to say to you, unapologetically, if you're saved, stay saved. I mean that, stay saved. I see passage after passage. We just read in Romans, and Paul says, we just read in Hebrews, and Paul says, if you stay faithful to the end, then you're going to be saved. Well, why is that? Why is Paul saying that? Because he knows. Oh, read the New Testament over and over and over and over again. Paul is admonishing these people in the church and saying, hey, don't give up. Don't give up. Stay faithful. And he even gives consequences to those who don't stay faithful. And it's not that you will be in a lower part of heaven. It's just not. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to mess up somebody's theology, but the Word of God has got to teach us the truth. Jesus said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Listen, God's deal is relationship. And if I become unfaithful to my wife, then what happens to our relationship? James is talking to Christians when he says, you adulterers and you adulteresses. He says, instead of rejoicing, you ought to mourn and recognize. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you haven't been in church for a long time. Maybe you're living a life far from Christ. Maybe you've been taught, you know what, that God is a God of love and he will just, doesn't make any difference what you do, that God will just love you anyway. Let me just tell you what, here's what the Bible says, that the wrath of God is coming and it's going to be poured out to the sons of disobedience. They say, Pastor, what are you thinking? Don't you know it's Christmas Sunday? You're teaching the wrong message. Oh my goodness. Those people on the Titanic, they didn't need a new toothbrush. Amen? They needed to be told the reality. And today we need to be told the reality. Here's what I believe. I believe we're closer to the end than we've ever been. Oh no, let me help you out. Let me tell you what I know. I know today I'm one day closer to eternity than I was yesterday. Amen. Let me tell you some other things. You are going to live forever. You're going to live forever. The only question is, where are you going to live forever? Who's your daddy? That's the question. Who's your daddy? Where do you want to live? And let me tell you about God. How many remember when you were a kid and you used to be able to just snow your mom? Come on, men. Come on, ladies. I mean, you tell your mom, oh, no, I wasn't smoking dope. No, well, you smell like dope. No, I was telling Jimmy Riley to get away. I was telling them. I was witnessing to Jimmy Riley. And they were smoking dope, so some of it caught on me. But that wasn't me. And your mom, she's like, oh, okay. But how many know you can fool your mom? How many know you ain't gonna fool God? And let me say another thing. And even if, listen, understand this. Let me tell you what the best life is. Let me tell you who hates you. Satan hates you. Let me tell you about Satan. Satan will tell you, I missed this on the test. I want to bring this up. How many sometimes are walking in unforgiveness? Not because the Holy Spirit isn't calling you to forgive, but you just don't want to forgive that person. There's something inside of you that likes to hold on to stuff. That's the broken part inside of you. So what I'm saying to you is, for some of you, and you've been conned, you've been lied to, you've been told that that life is the better life. That, you know what, here, can I tell you why most people don't come to Christ? Can I tell you why most people don't come to Christ? Here's why. Because when you come to Christ, you have to give him your life. But here's what I want you to understand. Most people don't understand that Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That the very life that he's tempting you to do. You know, let me tell you about Satan. Satan will tempt you to do something immoral against God's word. And then once you do it, he'll say, man, you are a scum of the earth for doing that. Can I tell you why? Because he's got nothing good for you. Let me tell you about God in the other way. God has nothing but good for you. He has a plan for you, and it's for a hope and a future. He's got incredible things for you. He's got incredible things for this church. He's got incredible plans for your family. And listen, and if you would give up and recognize, listen, you're holding on to the boat that is going to kill you because it is going down. You have to let go of that boat and get into another boat that will save you. And that boat is called Jesus. And that boat is called Jesus. This is an interesting Christmas in that we have, you know what, Christmas is Saturday, so you have some days left. I want you to start to notice of all the Christmas songs that don't talk about Jesus. And I want us to have compassion on those people that don't know Jesus. I want us to draw closer to Jesus than we've ever drawn closer before. How many of you feel like you're close to Jesus? Raise your hand if you feel like you're doing well and you're close. Keep your hands up. I want to talk to you for a minute. Keep your hands up. I want to talk to you for a minute. Guys, there's a place that you can draw closer to him. And the people with your hands up, the problem with you, thank God that you're at the place you're at. But let me tell you what comes to you is this thought of, I'm good. And you can't accept that. You have to say, no, I'm better than I was, but I want to get deeper into what God is doing in my life. Let me talk to those of you, and you don't have to raise your hand now, but those of you who were close to God and now you're far from God. Here, let me tell you another story. The boy that took his dad's money for him to come. And when the son came to himself and he comes back and all he wants to be is a slave, the father runs to the son. The Bible says, and hugs his neck. And as the son starts saying, hey, dad, I blew it. I don't deserve to be your son. I just want to be a slave. I just want to be one of your servants. I just want to be a work. The father cuts him off and just starts talking to the servants and says, hey, get that robe, get the robe. Oh, the ring, get the ring. Oh, boom, boom, boom. No. Can I tell you what? Maybe you've blown it. Maybe you've been close to God, but now you're far from God. You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. And God is saying, today is your day. And all you have to do, see, God isn't a punitive God. God's like, God, let me tell you what, I'm going to make you grovel for 4 weeks before I, no, it's boom, right now. All you have to do is say, man, God, I'm sorry. And he'll be right there with you. One more group of people. People who have never, you're just like, I don't even know, I kind of don't even know why I'm here today, Pastor Drew. Maybe you're watching through the internet. I don't even know why. I was just like, oh, you know what? I saw some kooky guy dancing and I thought, oh, let's listen to this pastor. And you're listening. Or maybe you're here and you haven't been in church a long time. Or maybe you have been in a church for a long time, but you haven't ever accepted Christ. Today is your day. Today is your day. See, remember in the video when he says, how much time, Captain, how much time do we have left? And the guy says, I don't know, an hour, maybe two the most. I don't have that answer for you. I don't know if you got a day. I don't know if you got 2 days. I don't know if you got 10 days. And the same lying devil that's going to lie to you and say, oh, just get saved next week. And next week he'll say next week. And next week he'll say next week. And it's all his plan to try to get you never out of the kingdom of God. So with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you're close to God and you want to draw closer, I want you to raise your hand. If you were close to God but you're far away from God, I want you to raise your hand. If you have never been close to God, I want you to raise your hand. Can you pray this after me? Jesus, come close. Come into my heart. I want to be close to you. Today, I want to become a Christian. I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want to come back to you. I need a Savior this Christmas. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Now, amen, amen. Somebody said once the sinner's prayer is a dangerous prayer because we give this false illusion that everything is fixed. And what we need to do is be more accurate to say everything has begun. Does that make sense? So you need a pastor. Somebody say, I need a pastor. Listen, let me tell you what. You need a pastor. You're just saying that because you want to be my pastor. Amen. Amen. I do want to be your pastor. But I also recognize you need a pastor. You need a covering. You need someone who is willing to teach you the Word of God. Not that you can't read the Bible yourself. You can. You can learn. But you still need a pastor. So Tamara and I want to be your pastors. Amen. And so make hope your church. Don't come Sunday. Pastor, you don't want me to come Sunday? No. I want you to come Sunday and Wednesday. Bring your kids. Raise them up to love God. And watch what will happen. You know what? Just give us 3 months. Just give us 3 months and watch what will happen in your life. Not because I'm so smart, but because the Word will change your life. And you're going to learn a little bit more next week and a little bit more next week and a little bit more next week. And before you know it, you're going to look in the mirror and you're going to say, woo, man, I'm looking more like Jesus. Amen. I'm looking like Jesus. And it won't happen overnight, but it won't happen at all if you don't start putting the Word of God in your life. It won't happen at all if you don't submit to your pastor. Tamara and I want to be your pastors. This is a good, healthy church. This is a good, healthy church. So, hallelujah. How many enjoyed the service today? Amen. Did you learn anything? Okay.